As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning, 7:30 on Wall Street. I'm Michael McKee, along with Tom Keene. It's kind of a gray day in New York, and that seems to be the mood in the markets today. S&P futures down 10 points still, 0.5%. No great news out there on the horizon either. Pacific Sunwear filing for bankruptcy protection today, just the latest of those youth-oriented clothing chains to falter, list liabilities of as much as $500 million, assets of only $100 million. EMC looking to sell its Documentum business, part of a plan with Dell to divest more than $6 billion in assets. It's all part of the takeover there. After years of pursuit with three separately failed offers to buy the pesticide maker Syngenta, Monsanto says it no longer sees large-scale mergers and acquisitions as a strategy. And Valiant, apparently, is out there in the borrowing markets. It is getting permission for a credit line amendment. We don't have details on what they want to do yet. Those headlines are just coming up, but we will keep you informed as we get more details. They also extended the deadline for filing their 10-K to May 31st. It was supposed to be filed, remember, last July 31st. Just this week, Valiant said they would file it by April 29th, so it may be another extension. Now let's check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines.
Mike, thank you very much. President Obama will head to the University of Chicago Law School to argue his case for why the Senate should nominate his pick for U.S. Supreme Court Justice. A vote on Judge Merrick Garland has been stalled by Republican Senate leaders who are refusing to hold Senate hearings while President Obama is in office. More corporations like General Electric and PepsiCo are calling on Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant to repeal a new state law that would allow government employees, religious groups, and private businesses to cite religious beliefs against same-sex marriage to deny services to people. A two-day conference opens today in Geneva that's billed as the first of its kind to tackle violent extremism. It's part of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's efforts to address the root causes of terrorism. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists. I'm Michael Barr. Mike?
Thank you, Michael. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. John Stashower, the Houston Astros will not go undefeated this year.
They'll go winless. They're now 1-1. They were second in the major leagues in runs scored last season. They brought back the same lineup with one exception. Better second baseman and Starlin Castro, two games in, batting .625. Seven runs batted in, four hits, drove home five, and the Yanks 16-6 route of Houston. Castro belting one of three home runs. Mark Teixeira and Carlos Beltran hit the others. Yanks and Astros end the series 4 o'clock today. Garden last night. Knicks beaten by the playoff-bound Hornets, 111-97. Kemba Walker scored 34 points. Nets fell at Washington, 121-103. Garden tonight, Rangers and Islanders. 80th Masters teeing off this morning at Augusta National. No Tiger Woods, but there is world number one Jason Day, defending champ Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy seeking the only major he's yet to win. Coverage of the opening round, 4:15 today on Bloomberg 1130. Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower.
Thank you, John. As we mentioned, the markets are lower, and now, I don't know, right after that Valiant headline crossed, they took a leg lower. The S&P futures now down by 11 points, 0.6%. Dow E-mini futures are off by 90 points right now, 0.5%. We'll keep an eye out for what happens in the futures markets as we go along here on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Worldwide. This is Bloomberg Surveillance. Michael McKee with Tom Keene. You see Some movement in the bond markets today with the 10-year note yield at 1.73%, the 5-year 1.17, and 72 basis points for your 2-year. The whole yield curve moving lower, some feeling that maybe the Fed on hold for a little bit longer, and some action in Europe with the German curve moving lower, the German 2-year note now negative 50 basis points. Time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, investing more than $110 million a year in applied research to solve problems and improve life. Learn more at storiesofinnovation.njit.edu. Here is Bob Boone.
Michael, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Kelvin Teo, a 29-year-old Harvard Business School student, building a web-based peer-to-peer lending startup as part of his curriculum, pitched the project to a potential partner, DBS Group Holdings Limited, Southeast Asia's biggest bank. Omitting his student status, he emailed the proposal last October to Chief Executive Officer Piyush Gupta out of the blue. At DBS's Singapore headquarters, the CEO received the message. Gupta had been seeking ways to harness the Internet to improve banking services, and Teo's venture, funding societies, might work. 3 hours later, the executive sent his reply, interested. It's an illustration of how banks in Asia are eager to join with financial technology firms rather than get beat by them. In a global survey of financial services executives by PricewaterhouseCoopers, 95% of the bankers said part of their business might be lost to fintech companies. Google says it's developed technology to easily switch away from server chips made by Intel and is helping other companies do the same. It's a potentially worrying development for the dominant provider of processors that power data centers. Google says it's built software that lets it use open power chips from IBM. And drones might take us where eagles soar, and it seems that's precisely the problem. Pennsylvania's Game Commission has given unanimous preliminary approval to banning drones over 1.5 million acres of state game lands after reports the unmanned craft were flying near bald eagles' nests and drones were interfering with migrating waterfowl, a final vote scheduled in July. And that's this morning's Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Michael.
Thank you very much, Bob Moon. I think John Tucker would agree that quite often Tom Keene and I note what is going on out there, and then everybody tells us we're wrong. We have no idea what we're talking about.
Part of what you do.
And he's one of them. But I feel a little bit better because Paul Hickey has the same problem. He's with the founder of Bespoke Investment Group. And you wrote at the beginning of the year, if people ask you what's going to happen in the markets, you would have to tell them you have no idea. And it seems to be working out. You seem to be the smartest guy in the room by taking that position.
Well, I mean, I think if there was ever a year to say in an outlook that you have no idea what's going to happen, 2016 has been the year. No one would have expected the downturn that we saw in the beginning of the first quarter. And even if you anticipated that, you certainly didn't anticipate the rebound that we had. We had a rebound. The decline in the rebound by some measures was we haven't seen anything like that since the 1930s. So that type of rebound is very rare. And I think, you know, that we have three things now focused with the market. The two biggest issues driving the day-to-day movements are crude oil and the FOMC. And then from a longer-term perspective and a backdrop, we have valuations which are above average and rich. But so in the beginning of the year, crude oil and the Fed were working against the market. Crude oil was falling. The Fed was – we were expecting hikes, you know, up to 4 rate hikes this year by the Federal Reserve. Now that's come down to, you know, we're not even sure where they're going to hike in June, and oil has rebounded. So that's been very positive for the markets. And so as long as – I mean, the Fed has in the minutes yesterday and Janet Yellen's speech last week, we are, you know – she's telling the investors don't fight the Fed. We're, you know, they keep taking a dovish posture here. So that is you know, for the market, that's a good thing. We'll see day-to-day movements like today, weakness in the futures, but I think overall, when you have oil continuing to trend higher and you have the Fed, you know, taking an extremely dovish stance, that's good for equities.
It just makes me wonder kind of if the average person can even compete in the markets these days. You go back to, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, who goes back to Graham, and, you know, the idea, buy undervalued stocks and hold them. The pros aren't doing that anymore, it seems. And with the price of oil, I mean, we haven't talked about it. It's unchanged today, $37.74 for West Texas, $39.85 for Brent. You know, in a range, whether the Fed has interest rates at 25 basis points or 75 basis points, I mean, those are not things that are really going to significantly affect the valuation of the average company that you buy.
Right. You know, I mean, again, so like what we're looking at here is we're focusing – investors in the markets are focusing on Fed policy, central bankers. They're like the new E.F. Huttons of Wall Street here, where whatever they say, the markets pounce on. We're not focusing on individual companies. And if you were to focus more on individual companies, you do have a slight issue here. Valuations are above average. They're not – I mean, at historical extremes by any stretch, but – for the first time in this bull market that we've had since 2009, we're in a situation where it's hard to find a cheap company in the S&P 500.
So, you know, in any case, you would look to a smaller. You know, in the past, you'd look to smaller caps or mid caps.
Right, and smaller caps are having their one of their. I mean, they haven't been performing well either. One of, like on a relative strength basis, it's one of the worst years that they've had to open a year relative to large caps. So it's a very you know. They've just been falling under a lot of pressure, and there's more energy exposure there in the small caps, so that's one thing holding the entire sector down. But small caps led this market for much of the rally, so it's only understandable that they're going to see some, you know, see some weakness here and catch up to things.
All right. Well, let's continue with Paul Hickey. We'll try to figure out something that we can say definitively about 2016. We can't even say that the Red Sox are going to win the World Series now. We'll have to talk to Tom about that when they come back because, John, they lost last night.
The streak continues.
The streak continues.
So starts.
Oh, nothing changes. This is Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, committed to bringing higher finance to lower carbon, named the most innovative investment bank for climate change and sustainability by The Banker. That's the power of global connections. Bank of America, N.A., FDIC.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Valiant Pharmaceuticals has one lender consent for a credit line amendment. Amendment terms restrict Valiant Pharmaceuticals' ability to make certain acquisitions and other investments and to pay dividends and other restricted payments until financial statements are filed and Valiant achieves certain leverage ratios. Conagra Foods reporting third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Its outlook for the year missed. CarMax's fourth quarter profit beat. U.S. stock index futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 12 points. Dow E-mini futures down 85. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 24. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 1.73%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 6 cents to $37.68 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% or $13.90 to $12.37.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1380, the yen, 108.46. And improving gender equality would add at least $2.1 trillion to U.S. gross domestic product by 2025, according to a McKinsey Global Institute study, a boost roughly the size of the Texas economy. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. We are talking markets with an expert, Paul Hickey of Bespoke Investment Group. He is the founder and head of the organization. And Paul tells us he doesn't have any idea where the markets are going. So we know we have found Diogenes Honest Man.
Did you realize?
That's a red one there.
Thank you, the red button. He has four daughters. I mean, do we need to say anything else?
No wonder he's confused. We were talking about how this is.
You think the markets are volatile? Wait till I get home from work in the day. It's just nuts. Markets are relaxing.
Yeah, Alexa. We were talking before the break about how this is not Benjamin Graham's market. Is it? I mean, have we gotten to the point where everybody's a day trader, where everything is kind of being driven on momentum, and you just have to pick a data point to move on, like the Fed, like oil prices?
I mean, I think there's more and more of that in the markets now. It's more of a day-to-day movements are all about positioning, it seems, rather than, you know, longer-term trends. Hopefully, when we get into earnings season, maybe, I mean, again, we're going to see day-to-day reactions to company earnings, but it would be nice to to be able to focus more on the corporate side of things. The U.S. economy, the growth scare that we saw towards the end of last year and into the first quarter of this year has, you know, showing signs of abating. So that's a good thing there. And I think we should see a continued improvement from an international perspective from these multinationals that have been getting killed over the last 2 years from their foreign exposure. They should continue. I think they should see some improvement going forward here.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure you want to focus on earnings if the numbers that the analysts are putting together are right. The total S&P down 9.8%, industrials down 11.4%, financials down 14%. Energy, Tom, the forecast is for earnings to contract by 100%.
Yeah, well, the dichotomy, the spread here is fine. What does this folks say about consumer stocks? I mean, they're Mad Men Nifty 50-like valuations, but do you put an asterisk by that and say I can own them?
Well, I mean, it depends on consumer stocks you're focusing on. I mean, bricks and mortar retailers have just been getting. I mean,
but that's not a consumer stock. That's a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, well, you see, okay, like an Amazon, which has a very high valuation there from a pure fundamental perspective. Again, it's hard to get in. It's hard to make a bullish case on a stock like Amazon. But you have Bill Miller said, makes the comparison between, I think it was John Malone and Liberty. The company never made a profit in the years, and then he sold it 10 years later for, and investors made 99 times their money. So, I mean, again, there's different ways of measuring things, but you just have to, getting back to what you were saying, Mike, it's there's a lot of focus now on the day-to-day movements. What's this Fed governor saying? What's this Fed head saying? And it's more of an event-driven market than longer-term fundamentals here.
Well, I mean, you like to, at Bespoke, look into historical parallels. Have you seen markets like this before that give you any guidance?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing, like we were talking about earlier, we saw one of the biggest declines and then rebounds in the first quarter of this year. And when you look back at history, I mean, when you've seen those kind of rebounds from a decline of 10% to a rebound of 10% in the first quarter, the market has done well in the second quarter of the year and through the remainder of the year. But what's really interesting is when you dig a little deeper into it, the last two times we've seen this were in 2003 and 2009. The market did great those years. I mean, we could only dream of having a repeat of that. But what was really interesting, in 2003, the real ground zero for the market was the tech sector. And it was very, there was a lot of weakness there, a lot of volatility. And then when we saw the rebound there, tech led us out of the way in the rebound in the first quarter and going forward in the second quarter is one of the best performing sectors. Fast forward to 2009, it was financials, which everyone was focusing on, and they led us out of the rebound in the first quarter.
So what's going to lead this time?
So this coming to this time, you're looking at energy. Energy had led us out of the in the first quarter, it was one of the first areas to hit its low, and it's rallied back. And again, what we were saying before, expectations, you can't get much lower than expectations for the energy sector. Analysts, the revisions on the stocks are more negative than any other sector in the market. Earnings forecasts are expected to be zero. So especially in the larger cap area, people aren't expecting a whole lot of good to come out of the energy sector earnings this quarter.
Paul Hickey with us with Bespoke as we slice and dice the equity markets here. Bespoke with a lot of fancy analysis. Does P.E. matter anymore? Is it a ratio that's of value to anybody?
I think whenever you try and make those statements that does this matter anymore, that's when it really does matter. when we're looking at valuations in the market here, they're above average by historical perspective. They're in the 80th percentile, which is high. But when you look back at history, you haven't necessarily always seen market declines following this high of a PE. What high PE ratios are, they're not a catalyst for a market decline, they're a fuel for a market decline. So you need a catalyst to spark things, and then the high valuations can exacerbate it because they leave less margin for error. Conversely, when you have low valuations, the market doesn't just rally because valuations are cheap. It rallies because of something else, and then people say, hey, valuations are cheap, and it gives you more of more room to go to the upside. So we wouldn't necessarily focus on valuation as a reason not to a reason to get out of stocks, but it would be something that keep in the back of your mind, because if when we do see a catalyst, it could provide more downside to the market here. But valuations matter until they matter, and that's when it, you know, doesn't provide much help. But that's just the way it is.
Jamie Dimon out with a note today suggesting that he's got big concerns about liquidity, although he can live with it, but he thinks the markets are not prepared for a Fed rate for the number of Fed rate increases we may have to see. We've talked about how the markets swing wildly on what people say. Are we set up for a jump condition should the Fed actually surprise?
I think if you saw the Fed suddenly, I mean, as much as the Fed has surprised us to the dovish side recently and the markets have rallied, you could see, equally see a situation where the Fed finds that, oh, wow, inflation is picking up here. We need to act on things. And that would have, provide a downside catalyst for the market, and things could, increase volatility, which is one reason why they said they're also investing a lot more money in trading, because if you're going to have a more volatile environment, you want to focus on trading. What was another really interesting thing about what he said in his letter was that, the Great Recession is still in front and center of investors' minds. So whenever you see weakness, the first instinct is to run for the door, because you don't want to get caught in a situation like you saw back in 08 again. Nobody wants to do that. And so that creates, more downside pressure. That creates more of an incentive for investors are worrying about the big one, and it creates higher volatility. But in the long run, the big one usually doesn't happen.
Paul Hickey, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Bespoke
Thanks.
Investment services. This is a wonderful story, and it's a little story, and it by no means can top what Tom Watson did at the British Open X number of years ago. That was truly once in a lifetime. First of all, Gary Player looks like he's 72, maybe 68.
He's 80.
He's 80. He hit a hole in one yesterday.
Yes, and
Masters.
I can honestly say that that's great. It not only makes you feel like you can do more, but I can also say, well, of course I haven't made a hole in one because I'm not 80 yet.
It's extraordinary.
He's had all these years to get one. It's about time.
Yeah, there were they had the hole-in-one contest yesterday. 9 people made holes in one on the third hole at Augusta, which is just amazing.
Well, it shows the skill of the players.
Could it happen today?
I don't know.
As the Masters kicks off.
Very cool.
You don't want to.
The Masters on Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, you won't miss it.
As John Tucker knows, a lot of times I open my mouth and somebody says, would you put the surveillance cork in his mouth? Once Alf in New Jersey said golf on radio. And I said, you're kidding me. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. And then I heard it and it was fabulous. And we do that. It's very exciting. It's very cool.
We'll be listening. You and I are going to come in tomorrow. We'll be talking like this.
Yes, we're talking about the third hole. Nationwide, Boston, Washington, San Francisco, New York. On Sirius XM, the Masters Golf Tournament, 4:15 this afternoon. This is Bloomberg Surveillance, a hole-in-one.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.